HarperCollins presents Make Yourself at Home by Ciara Geraghty, read by Aoife McMahon. Chapter 1. Optimistic people might say that the good thing about hitting rock bottom is that there is nowhere to go but up. Marianne Cross was not one of those people. Marianne, an accountant in both profession and nature, was a numbers person. You knew where you were with numbers. Take the number 435821, for instance. That was the number of the district court case. Another number was 84, the number of times Marianne had shoplifted. Then there was the number of times Marianne had got caught shoplifting. 1. The age Marianne was when she began her shoplifting career. 13. A prime number. Then there was 35. A composite number and the age Marianne was when she married Brian. The number of years Marianne had managed to remain married. 4. The number of children Marianne wanted. 0. Which, incidentally, was the same number of children Brian had said he wanted too. The number of children Brian was now expecting with his new partner, Helen, 2. These and other numbers scrolled through Marianne's head that morning when she arrived back at her childhood home. The circulation figure of the national newspaper where Marianne's crime had been reported in the court news column, 79,254. The times Marianne's boss apologised during her "You're fired" speech, 8. The amount of euros by which Marianne was in arrears when the bank repossessed her home, 150,000. Marianne opened the passenger door and stepped out of her mother's ancient Jeep. She straightened, looked at the house. Another number came to mind. This one was 15. Her age when she had left this place. She had resolved never to come back, and yet here she was. That's what rock bottom really meant. No place else to go. Chapter 2. The house was called Ankara, named for a granite rock on the beach below with the curved top of an anchor. Marianne always thought it was an appropriate name. Already she could feel the weight of it bearing her down. She stamped her feet against the soggy earth to encourage some blood into her toes, wrapped her arms around her body in an attempt to ward off the worst of the bitter easterly wind that tore in from the sea, burdened with the salt water that went to work on her hair, transforming it from barely manageable to frizzy briars, dripping and dense.
"Are you all right, darling?"
Marianne opened her eyes. She had almost forgotten about her mother, which was not something many people could be accused of. Rita's dress sense alone prevented that. Marianne wondered, not for the first time, why her mother's rigouts, for there was no other word for them, never paid the slightest attention to the prevailing weather. Nothing about her headscarf, a bright snatch of orange silk arranged in a turban around her head, or the sleeveless pink summer dress underneath a blood-red bolero jacket, suggested insulation or warmth. And the dullness of the day made her enormous sunglasses foolishly redundant. Rita launched herself in Marianne's direction, stopping in front of her with barely an inch between them, reaching up to settle her hands on Marianne's shoulders. Marianne could smell cigarettes and coffee and the herbal perfume Rita insisted on spraying not only on herself, but also on innocent bystanders. She smelled like the sap of the dock leaves Marianne used to rub on Flo's nettle stings when they were children.
"Are you going to park?"
Marianne asked, stepping away so that Rita's arms hung suspended in the air for a moment. She lowered them, smoothing the material of her dress down the generous curve of her hips. She turned her head towards the Jeep, which had an abandoned look about it, strewn as it was across the grass, its ridged wheels sinking into the muck. It was an old army vehicle, the tarpaulin at the back torn and billowing in the wind like wings, so that the leaking, rusting contraption looked as if it might take flight at any moment. Unlike the enormous rooster, now...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?